Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey guys, guess what? We've been nominated for an award, the National Comedy Awards to be specific. It's through Channel 4 and it's all in support of Stand Up to Cancer. You can vote from anywhere in the world and your vote would mean the world to us. So please go to thenationalcomedyawards.com and you can vote anytime before November 4th. That's 2021 if you're listening to this in the distant dystopian future. Thanks so much and we love you.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Hannah George and I'm a screenwriter. I'm joined by author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where absinthe meets arson, Negroni meets necrophilia, and Grand Marnier meets Grand Theft Auto. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
I just say stuff, Sarah. That's my job.
Bit and Ted.
Habitable. Habitable?
Habitable.
Fucking hell.
This is great podcast material.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Hello and welcome to Drunk Women Solving Crime. Today we are joined by writer, performer and comedian Sarah Mills.
Yay!
Yay!
Welcome.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited. I've got a notebook.
We've got a note taker. Love note takers. It's an elite club. Welcome to it.
This is excellent. Yeah. Detective Mills, we are very excited to have you and your expertise. But first, before we solve any crimes, yes, we need to talk about a time. Have you ever been victim of a crime?
Yes. Do you want to brace yourself for the most depressing sentence you'll ever hear?
Yes, bracing. Please.
I'm braced.
I got mugged on the way to the job centre in Tottenham.
Oh,
no, no,
that is bleak.
Isn't it? It was a while back now. It was when I first moved to London. I was living in Tottenham, signing on, and I was trotting through the Park Farm estate in Tottenham. And it started off as a bag grab, but because I was not going to relinquish my bag that easily, it did eventually become a mugging where we did like this like push and pull, and then like I just got dragged along the street for a bit.
Wow.
Shit.
Yeah.
In the end, and did you relinquish then?
Well, I mean, I was forced to because the man was much stronger than me. Right. But yeah, I, there was a whole like photographing of bruises and stuff like that.
Oh my God.
I mean,
gosh.
I was thinking that like, it's a really interesting like metric of, God, I'm going to sound so wanky right now, but it's a really good metric of your privilege. Because I was like, actually, is that literally the only time I've come into contact with the police?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, actually, yeah, apart from there was one time where I stole some patio furniture from outside a pub in Stevenage and set it up in a mini roundabout and then got chased by the police after that.
Oh, wow.
But like, that was, I was criming. But the only time I've ever been crimed against was this time with the bag grab, which became a mugging. And I was like, that's actually, I've never really given it a lot of thought, but I was like, that does mean that, because sometimes I feel quite like, you know, sometimes you feel well off, sometimes you feel underprivileged. And I was like, actually, overall, that's got to be a good life so far.
Yeah, it's pretty good going.
You know what I mean, in terms of measure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still a traumatic incident. They had to take photos of your bruises.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. Yeah. I mean, it came to nothing. I mean, there was no follow-up after that day.
Oh, man, because that becomes assault, surely. Like, there's kind of, what mm-hmm. did they sort of put it down as? Because...
Do you know what? I think it was down as a mugging.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it wasn't, I was only bruised because, like, he didn't bruise me. Like, I, God, now I sound like I'm trying to ameliorate his work, but like.
But he's a good man.
Because I, yeah. If I hadn't fought back, I wouldn't be bruised. I bruised myself. Yeah, because it was, I can't actually work out how I got the bruise. Yeah, it must have been just where I fell because I was literally like not giving up this bag.
I've heard stuff before where the police or people are like, you just let the bag go. You don't know if they've got a knife or whatever. Like, yeah, you never try and fight for you. Were they cross with you or were they like, that's great. You
oh, tried no, to they bag. Weren't. I mean, they. I don't think they gave any sort of value judgment on it. I think they just processed it. I think they. I remember them being really good. Like, I.
Oh, that's good.
It is a while ago now. I feel like I was offered like counselling, and I was like, "Nah, it's cool, mate." But yeah, like I mean, nothing. Like I say, nothing came of it. I never got it back. Obviously, you never get a bag back in those situations.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, you know, it felt like a sort of pointless crime because once he would have got into my bag, he would have seen my signing on book and been like, "Right."
Boy, I've just I made a poor person worse off.
I mean, not that I don't think you would actually, you know, people crime out of desperation mainly, especially if it's like theft like that. So I don't actually know if it would have given him a lot of pause for thought necessarily. But I definitely think it would have felt like a very pointless
Pyrrhic
tug
victory.
Of war with a stranger because it's like there was nothing in that bag worth either of us having. But at least like for me, there was an admin cost.
Yes. I always think about that if I ever got my bag stolen. It's like the worst thing would be like my front door keys, like, and not in the sense that I think that person would come to my house and rob it, but no, I just think like, yeah, it's just so annoying having to get keys cut and like fobs made and
Sarah, were there any witnesses around or was it completely remote?
It was really weird. It was, no, not really. It was in this like little square, like I say, on the way between my flat and the job centre. And I do remember, like, I was screaming Blue Mirza while it was happening because I'm that kind of a person.
Yeah,
and
that's good.
I did, like, there was one person could obviously see from their window because they went, I see you, I see you. But then they didn't come out. And actually, it's never occurred to me until now that maybe that person was disabled. Like, I've always thought, like, when at the time I was like, well, why was this person saying out the window, oh, I see you, I see you, and didn't come down and help me? I found that a little bit sort of bewildering as a choice. But it's literally only, I mean, I haven't dwelt on it a lot in the intervening time, but like, at the time it was upsetting. And I think, I was a bit like, that was such a weird thing for someone to tell me that they had witnessed it, but not come to help. And now I wonder if they were disabled, maybe.
Yeah,
never
possibly.
Occurred before. Yeah, this disembodied voice just from one of the houses around me came in going, oh, weird. I see you. Like,
was it a male or female?
It was a woman. It was, it was an older lady.
Because, you know, we've had a couple of things here where, like, something kicked off outside our flat, like, between these, like, probably teenagers, but they were getting really, really, like, fighty with each other to the point where someone was going to get seriously hurt. And we went out on our balcony because we heard the thing. And my boyfriend shouted because he's got such a deep, commanding voice. And we were also pretty drunk as well. So it was like, you know, it was like Friday night at midnight. It was like, and we went out and he just shouted off the balcony. And it was always funny what he shouted. He just shouted, "Pack it in." But there was something about all of the boys stopped because it was like he was their dad or something. And they all dispersed immediately.
Yeah.
And it's that sort of, again, it's that annoying thing about blokes. If I'd have shouted, "Stop it." Like, they wouldn't have stopped me.
Oh, my God, guys!
Yeah, but there's something about...
This is unacceptable.
But at the same time, you know, because it was quite a scary situation, we were up high. I think if we'd been on the ground floor, then maybe, you know, we'd have just called the police rather than got involved. But it's that thing of being slightly further away.
Did she call anybody, I guess, is the question. Presumably... Did you know that, you know, did you find out that anyone else had called it in or I don't know?
No, I didn't. I must have gone to the police after that. I think my phone was gone. So I must have called the police via my boyfriend at the time and they came out and then I went to the police station for these photographs and to sort of give a statement and stuff. But yeah, I did find it really odd because I was like stood there in the middle of this square while someone was telling me that they could see me. And then I was like,
Had Avatar just come out? I'm just wondering if she was like caught up in the moment. She's like, "I see you."
I haven't seen Avatar for so long.
She was just trying to validate you.
Someone pointed out that I'm like obscure reference girl. So that was a good example.
Unless you've watched it recently, like what the fuck was Avatar about? I don't know.
That is neat. Unless you just watched it.
People who are large.
There you go. I'll watch it again tonight. That sounds amazing. Sarah, what we ask on this podcast is we say, if you had that person in front of you now, the person who mugged you, What would you say to them?
I would just, I mean, God, do you know what? It's going to sound so much like I'm going for Miss World here. But I would say, like, I hope things got better for them. Because, I've never fallen to a point where I needed to, like, grab someone's bag off them in the street. And I really do mean that. I mean, God, it is so patronising. I think that if they'd stolen something worse from me, you know, if they'd broken into my home or if I'd had a real trauma from it, you know, if I'd lost like work or something very valuable, then it might have been different. But as it stands, I think I lost my phone and my wallet, which had nothing in it, and my job signing in book and maybe some makeup and the bag itself. And like, I could live with that loss.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So,
Totally.
I just feel like I don't have... Yeah, I don't have a very serious... apart from, like, a lady did nearly run me over today and then promptly apologised. But that's... Yeah, apart from that, that's the only time I've been quarantined.
I see you. Oh, no, I didn't. Sorry. That was the other day.
It's way less validating.
Perfect.
We get that response a lot. And I think it makes a lot of sense that, you know, if you can have the perspective to have empathy, it's almost like there's deep-rooted systemic issues behind all the, you know, it's sort of like, it is a privilege to be able to, like, look back and...
Completely. I mean, it was a very poor estate that we were living on, and I don't live there anymore. I've moved away and I, you know, began a career and have worked, and I don't... Maybe that person did too. Maybe they are now richer than me, and I'd be like, actually, you fucking cunt, can you give me some money for my damages? But... You know, I don't know whether that happened, but I mean, it's so slight in the scheme of things that I...
That's Richard Curtis.
But it's why good. Richard Curtis?
I don't know. I just say stuff, Sarah. That's my job.
Cool. He wrote Avatar, right? No.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
We're going to move on to the true crime aspect of the podcast. So get your notebook out.
She's ready. She's ready.
Today, guys, put your coats on because we are going to the Arctic. And today we're discussing an Arctic explorer.
No way.
Yes way.
We've never gone to the Arctic on this podcast.
What is this? Bid and Ted.
It's Bid and Ted, like it's the aging female version of Bill and Ted.
Yeah, it's gonna get greenlit in 2024.
Oh, I love it.
I'm in.
I actually did love the remake. Sorry, go on.
I quite liked the remake too.
Keanu Reeves' daughter was such a brilliant impression of him.
I haven't seen it. It's way too up to date for me. I don't want to start referencing recent stuff.
Yeah, stick with Avatar.
So for you, I love that. That's a sweet burn in this group now. Oh, fucking Avatar.
I think Avatar's such a weird choice too, because people fucking love it or hate it. Like it's quite
such a room splitter.
It's quite a unique situation.
I feel like I'm the only one in my group who loved it. Like, I don't bring it up a lot because everyone that I know, like, hates it. And I really liked it. But anyway, that's for another podcast. The Avatar podcast.
I got something out of it.
Yeah, but no one's ever made a podcast about Avatar.
I reckon there's at least one podcast.
There's got to be.
Well, I'm going to guest on it at the very least.
Even if they don't want you to.
The Blue Man Group.
So the year is 1923. The expedition is to the largely ice-locked Wrangel Island, which is 100 miles north of Siberia.
Wow.
So we are talking Arctic, we're talking cold, and our explorer's name is Blackjack. Cool. And what I want to know is, was Blackjack a man or a woman?
Oh, please let it be a woman, just to thwart expectations. That would be
great. Who named Blackjack? This feels like a nickname.
It's a surname. So only because if I gave you the first name, it would give it away.
Okay.
And Blackjack's just quite cool.
That tells everything then, doesn't it?
Samantha Blackjack.
Yeah.
From a family of gamblers.
What a great surname. That's an actual
Who
surname,
liked
is it?
Licorice flavored confection.
Yeah. I'm going to guess woman.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to go woman. Because otherwise, you know.
Well, I mean, I'm going to go man just to be different.
Just to be right.
It'd be great if it was a woman.
Do you know what? Sometimes on this podcast, I feel like when we ask that question, it's because it's surprising. And it is. Ada Blackjack was an Inuit woman.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's
Amazing.
A woman. And now I know I said she's an Arctic explorer and she is, but she's kind of a reluctant one. So we'll unpack this. First, let me tell you a little bit about her. She was born in 1898 in the remote settlement of Spruce Creek, Alaska. She was brought up by Methodist missionaries and married a local boy called Jack Blackjack. I know.
It's not creative at all.
Stop.
Fuck off. No.
Jack Blackjack.
Jack Blackjack.
Yeah, that's his name.
Maybe they called him Jonathan and he was like, but I want to be cool.
He could have changed his name. So he was a local boy and they married at 16. Now, what do you think Jack's job was? And I'll give you a clue. It's kind of my dream job.
Chocolate taster. Sorry,
pirate.
That's my dream job.
Pirate.
A pirate. Nice.
It's kind of Hannah George's dream job.
But also it's in 18... It's not quite... Wait, what? When was she born again?
Yeah, so
1898.
We're in 19...
Oh, good maths.
It's too soon for food critics, right? Because I can kind of see that as a side
and she
hustle
can't be
for you.
Like, movies don't even exist. What does Hannah like?
Golly.
I don't think they even have ice cream.
Does she do something with animals? Does she like look after
zookeeper?
Zookeeper. I mean, you're actually quite
dog,
close.
Dog groomer.
Dogs. Okay. Yeah, we're getting closer.
Husky
dog
wrangler.
Sled. Dog sled.
Oh.
Yes. I mean,
drink.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was a dog musher.
Musher.
I presume it doesn't mean like mushing up dogs into tiny pieces. I assume it means like being, doing the husky thing, the dog sleds.
That's what they chant, but interesting. It would be interesting to find out the etymology of that word because I don't know where that comes from. I don't know if that's...
Oh, musher. Yeah.
Yeah, mush, mush.
Susie
what language
Dent, if you're
does
listening.
It come from? I know, Susie Dent, we need you now.
However, Jack was also a bit of a dog himself. And fast forward a few years, Jack has abandoned Ada, leaving her totally destitute with a young son called Bennett. Now, Bennett was the only surviving child of three. He had tuberculosis. Things are difficult for Ada, and she ends up having to give up her son to an orphanage.
No.
Yeah, because she can't afford to keep him and to keep paying his bills.
She's in Alaska still? This is all Alaska?
This is in Alaska.
I am shocked that the American welfare system let down someone in need. I'm just going to put that out there. First time and last time.
So this is obviously she wants Bennett back. And this is when she sees an advert for an Arctic expedition to Siberia run by Arctic explorer Vilhelm Stefansson. Now, Ada was 25 at this point when she sees the ad for this Arctic expedition. She has no exploring experience. What job do you think she went for? What use was she on this mission? She went on it. So why did they employ her? What was it she could bring?
I'm so distracted. All I want to happen is she goes on this mission, she does really well, and then it ends with her getting her son back. Like, if that doesn't happen, I'm going to be very upset.
That sounds like a real true crime ending, Katie.
I want the Hollywood ending to this story. I'm not interested in the true crime now.
I know, right?
Human interest.
I'm with you.
I know. Okay, I'll get my head back in the game.
I love it. Katie is out unless it's a happy ending. Sarah?
The first thing that came to mind was like a sort of concubine geisha type figure. Like,
interesting.
Isn't that depressing?
It is depressing.
Did she go? Few jobs, yeah.
Did she go as a cook?
Sorry, Taylor, I've made such a face that implies that Sarah is correct that I have to just say yes.
Yes, exactly.
She was hired as a cook and a seamstress.
Because that's what we're all good for, either sex or cooking.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And as she was brought up by missionaries, she could also read and write, which was also seen as quite handy. And she kept a diary the whole time she was there. Again, this is the amazing things mothers will do for their children, because she's doing this to make the money to get Bennett back. She has a paralyzing fear of something. What is that thing?
No, is it water?
Water?
Ice?
Ice. I mean,
this is like straight after Titanic, so icebergs.
Okay, ice is actually not a bad sound.
So wait, hang on. What year are we in now?
We're in 1923 at this point.
I mean, you'd hate to be phobic of ice having come from Alaska.
Well, she's in Alaska, so she's used to... She could be phobic of, you know, boats and stuff. Maybe it's awkward conversations.
There's a great line as well.
Oh my God, the small talk on the ship is just brutal. Yeah.
The water cooler, oh my God.
You don't need a water cooler.
That's true, the water melter, oh my God.
A water heater. They chat around the kettle.
Yeah.
Oh my God, chatted around the water melter. That's...
It's a water melter.
That really
moment.
Tickles me. It's a water melter.
I remember an amazing line in the Samuel L. Jackson movie, Deep Blue Sea. Although you can't really call it a Samuel L. Jackson movie because he dies quite early on. Spoiler alert. Sorry, guys. But there's a bit in it where he talks about ice and he says, ice. It's like it knew it killed the world once and got a taste for murder. And
oh, my God.
Come on, guys.
Wow.
It's amazing. Like, ice has a taste for murder.
Well, if water has memory, it probably does.
As Frozen 2 tells us.
Yeah.
It was something that you might not have guessed, but she had a paralyzing fear of polar bears.
Oh, I wondered if it was going to be an animal. Okay. That feels, reasonable to me. They are deadly.
Yeah, I know what you mean when people are like...
Yeah, when does phobia just cross into sort of reasonable...
Yeah, that's not an irrational fear. It could kill her, yeah.
To be fair, I said paralysing fear rather than irrational fear.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, she and four inexperienced explorers, all men, head off on this mission to Wrangel Island. So Stefansson...
What is the mission? What are they supposed to do?
Well, Stefansson wanted to claim Wrangel Island for the UK, despite the fact that he was an Icelandic American born in Canada. Mm. But he wanted to claim it for the UK. However, why do you think claiming the island for the UK caused an international incident?
Because everyone wants the UK to fuck off and stop nicking everyone's stuff.
We've got that from Katie.
We're in the 20s.
Yeah.
Something to do with the national delineations in the water? Is it just like a... No, I guess they weren't there. If you can claim it, then there's no... I
mean, is it like first come first?
Well, I'll give you a clue. Like, Stefansson, it seems like, although he's this super famous Arctic explorer at this point, I don't think he's particularly good at his job. He didn't do his research on Wrangel Island. So what could have caused an international incident?
Oh, because they get in perilous danger and
is the UK liable? If he's trying to claim it for the country, are they liable for the rescue mission?
Interesting. Sarah, any advance?
Is there any, like, indigenous peoples living there? Or is it just, I mean, it must have been...
Right, no.
Your face
no
gets on your way again.
That's a really good guess, though.
No, but Sarah, you're quite close, because what it is that Russia had already claimed it years before.
Okay,
right.
So there was ownership on it already.
Oh,
so.
Of course, Alaska is, yeah.
So he just didn't do his research, this guy. And Stephenson was this, like, big self-promoter. and just a little bit more about him. In 1913, he directed an expedition to northern Canada. And he was on a ship called the Karluk. And it became marooned in the ice. Now, it was anticipated that the ship would be carried off by the moving ice and it would sink. So what do you think Stephenson did at that moment, knowing that the ship would probably sink?
Blowtorch to the ice.
Blowtorch to the ice?
Yeah. Threw everyone else overboard so that he would live longer.
Yeah, yeah. And then took selfies.
Took everyone else's clothes and wore them like Joey and Friends.
Yeah.
While they froze to death.
That would be a good flirtation device as well.
I think that flirtation device. I was like,
flirtation
what?
Device.
What kind of, what sort of kinks have you got going on?
Undress me with your eyes. It's going to take a while, but...
I do like layers, and I make no excuse for that.
So the ship was stuck in ice and he knew that it would eventually sink when the ice melted.
Yeah, he knew that it was probably going to be.
Did he just like fuck off with his little ice cleats and a blow up raft? And he's like, good luck. Like he just abandoned them, but he had a way to escape.
Abandoned.
Well, you're pretty close. He got off the boat and said he was going to go hunting to get some fresh meat for the crew.
Ooh, he
because
lied.
He's a great guy.
Lied.
But the others on the boat thought he'd left deliberately and he knew it was likely to sink. So they were like, this guy. And it did. It sunk. He survived. Very few others did.
Shit.
So then, obviously, filling up...
That's the most dishonourable thing you can do.
Yeah, you're supposed to go down with the ship, aren't you? Like, that's...
Yeah,
the...
and I'm mostly getting this from Titanic, the film. But I thought this was a thing.
Another obscure reference.
I don't know if you guys have heard of it. It's based on a real story.
I just watched the first half of it earlier this year.
It was so awful.
Oh, yeah. Weird to watch it now.
Yeah.
Why now?
Because I was rebelling against watching it because I didn't want to be a sheep when I was 17.
Right. Fair.
Which I respect.
Absolutely. He gets back from that and he sets up the expedition to Wrangel Island a few years later. So he doesn't go. He's not going on this expedition.
Well, you couldn't really recruit people if that's your history. Like, who wants to come with me?
Yeah.
Well, he did recruit them. It was his mission, but he just didn't go. And he sends the four men, Ada, and someone called Victoria. Now, who do you think Victoria was?
A man.
Ooh,
oh, no, you said there were men and then there was Victoria, so it's probably a woman.
But what, like...
A dog!
Okay, you're very close. You're like, what's the opposite of a dog?
Oh, no, is it a polar bear?
They had a cat.
Was it a polar bear?
Because that would be really problematic for Ada.
I'm just sending a polar bear out there with you. But, you know, no, good connection, actually, because she is scared of polar bears. But it was a cat.
Guys, Vicky's just hitching a ride halfway, and then I promise she'll take her shit. A cat doesn't seem like the right animal to bring on an expedition. That feels like a dog job.
Yeah. But it's going to catch mice and rats and stuff.
Oh, I guess so.
Stop you getting those diseases.
I was going to ask why they bring cats, but I think you're completely right, Katie. It's that, isn't it? It's that they catch mice and
smart.
Stuff like that.
Okay,
I mean,
this is why I don't.
Cat, but
this is why I don't expede or whatever the verb is.
Yeah, I mean, not without your future cat.
That's why Dick Whittington had a cat, wasn't it?
Probably.
So I think the reason you would keep a cat.
Every animal had to be a working animal in the olden days when times were tough.
Yeah.
Right.
There were no leisure cats. Okay, cool. So Victoria is going to play a part in this story and I'm very much here for this.
So, yeah, Victoria the cat, she's there as well. Ada is being paid $50 a month and the plan is to stay on the island for a year and see if it's habitable. Habitable?
Habitable.
Fucking hell. Just in case Amanda can edit it, habitable.
But keep that in, Amanda. Show Hannah struggling.
So she was guaranteed food and shelter and wouldn't have to do any of the hard labour that the men had to do. However, as soon as they got there, they realised that the island was way more barren than they thought it was, that Stephenson had told them that it was. So hunting was going to be a lot harder. On her first night on the island, Ada wrote something in her diary. What do you think she wrote?
Thank fuck there's no polar bears.
Thank fuck there's no polar bears. Sarah?
I just said, fuck this.
Katie?
So definitely the F word in there. Katie, take it away.
Dear diary, everyone's morons except me.
Well, do you know what she said? I thought at first that I would turn back, but I decided it wouldn't be fair to the boys.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How would she have turned back, though, if they were all on the same boat?
It's a great question, to be honest. I'm not sure that there was any turning back at that point.
No.
So it was okay for the first few months. The men set up meteorological. The men set up meteorological instruments and hunted, and Ada repaired their jackets and cooked meals. But they started to run out of supplies, and they were expecting a resupply ship, but the ice closed in and it had to turn round and left them with no supplies. So Stephenson, back in Alaska, was trying to raise money for a relief ship, but he couldn't. It was too late. The ice had started to... Yeah, exactly. So they were stuck on the island with no supplies. So by early 1923, they're starving. It was very cold. It was minus something centigrade. Do you want to guess how minus it was?
-40.
-40? Okay, we've got -40.
I was going to go 19.
-19? Okay.
Is this in Celsius?
Oh, it
this
actually,
is yeah, centigrade.
No, I want to adjust
oh, yeah,
my grade.
Like, I was in the year Obama was inaugurated. I was in Chicago for it, and it was -23. In fucking wow. Chicago. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, like, I had to wear, like, the full face thing, but, like, that happens in the Lakes region. So it's going to be, like, negative. Okay, but Celsius has huge... So don't go too dramatic, Taylor. You can do this.
I'm adjusting to 37. Sorry,
35? I
played
COVID. So we've got 35, sorry. 40, and...
47, -47.
Wow. Okay, well, Chicago taught you something because it was -48. So that's pretty amazing.
But well, we were all close.
You were all close. You were all close. It was cold.
Female workplace.
Female workplace.
Drunk women solving crime.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Can I just say what I hope the outcome is?
Okay.
Because I feel like cannibalism is coming, but I hope Victoria just eats all of them. That's my hope. And then Ada gets away, obviously.
I love that, because it's not cannibalism, is it? If the cat eats them, that's just...
No.
That's just meat eating.
Yeah, it's just having dinner. I mean, I'm here to tell you, it doesn't go as dark as that, so that's...
Oh, okay, that's good.
I don't know whether that helps you or that's disappointing. But,
no, we've done some cannibalism. We've gotten a taste for it.
So apart from the lack of food and the bitter cold, something happened that made three of the men decide they were going to trek across the pack ice to go and find help. This was it. They needed help now. They had to go and try and find someone.
What's the pack ice? Is that back into the sea or that's now frozen over, or is that across the island?
Yeah, to be honest, I don't 100% know, but what I think it is that everything has frozen over to the point where they can, you know, they don't have a boat, so they could get back to...
They could walk back to Alaska.
Yeah, well, not to Alaska, but maybe Siberia, I don't know, but okay. It was to the next place where they could get help. But what do you think made them go, shit, we need help now?
No water.
But they've got ice, right? I mean.
Oh, okay. Fine. But it's salt water. Oh, no, because if it's frozen, I guess the salt content is... Actually, how does this work? Because you can't drink seawater, but if it freezes, it means the salt content is low enough that it's drinkable. So much to Google.
But there must have been, like, waterways that weren't sea. There must have been, what, like, lakes and ponds or... No?
Yeah, can you drink snow? Yeah. I mean, I feel like maybe you can drink snow.
If it's snowing. I don't know if it's snowing. It's just really, really cold. It can be too cold to snow. I think that's probably too cold for snow.
Oh, okay. So, let's do it. Let's go. We're going with water. any advance on lack of water?
Polar bears! What? Polar bears invading!
What made them go back to get help at this point?
Yeah.
They realised there was no Wi-Fi.
Yeah, they were sick
Insta
of not having...
Insta was down.
They wanted porn. No.
Guys, this expedition podcast was supposed to be fun, and now it's just become a hassle with all the breaking up. And
what it was is one of the men, Lorne Knight, got scurvy, and he was going to die, basically.
Oh, they needed medical attention.
Oh,
so they went for him.
Yeah, they went because they're like...
Did they bring him, or they were going to try and bring medical attention back?
Yes, what they did is they went, the three men went, leaving Ada and Lorne and Victoria at
So there's a cat, there's Ada, and there's a man with scurvy left.
Yeah, and that's it. And so these three guys
there's
go...
There's your sitcom. Yeah.
Well, it did make me think of, that riddle about, the fox and the cat and the bag of corn. It's like...
And the grain, yeah.
The scurvy sailor, which way does he go? Don't leave him with the corn.
Or the fox.
So what do you think? Do you think, did they make it? Like, what happened to those three? No? Okay, big no from Sarah.
To die, right?
Katie is another, they have to die, Taylor.
What's fascinating is that it sort of surprises me both that they're going to try to do this impossible trek because someone's ill, which almost feels like, well, why didn't you do that before anyone got ill? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's so funny what it takes to push people to really push themselves. And it's interesting that it was that. I reckon the guy with scurvy probably doesn't make it, but they do... I feel like maybe one of the guys gets to a village and they do come back and Ada survives and Victoria's fine. She's living her best cat life.
I want Ada to befriend a polar bear. Not Ada. I want the cat to befriend a polar bear and for that to be the basis of a future Disney movie.
Good. And then Ada confronts her fear.
Exactly, and that's what it is. It's like Ada goes on a journey where she starts off being scared of polar bears.
Yeah.
But because her trusted companion, the cat, paves the way with the polar bear, then they ultimately become a triplicate. A bit like, Simba and Pumbaa and Timon.
Yeah. In
Lion King. Yes. Hi, is that Pixar? We've got something for you. That's great. I love it.
I just got Pixar on speed dial.
I'm actually really successful, guys. No, I know nothing of that. But
your phone is so translucent, too. It's really cool.
It almost looks like my hand held up against my face. I'm really good at mime. So
Victoria and Oliver. I'm just floating some titles.
Yeah, we need.
There's already been a Disney cat called Oliver.
Has there?
Yeah.
Why don't we call the polar bear Albert, and then it's Victoria and Albert, and then you're tricking people into thinking it's about the monarchy.
Oh, my God.
You just doubled our sales.
That is Emmy Award winning Hannah George.
The face coming up.
I'm so...
Let's all get really close.
I'm
really, that was amazing.
I'm going in for that moment.
I mean, this is great podcast material.
Listeners, we all put our faces in.
Guys, the three men never made it. They were never seen again.
Oh,
that's it.
Gosh. Gone. Okay.
I'm a soothsayer.
Katie knows. But so I think in our Pixar movie, what we're looking for is we're looking for a baddie. And we found our baddie here in Lorne Knight, because Lorne Knight is the one with scurvy.
Oh, no.
So Ada becomes his nurse, his companion. She does all the hunting. She collects all the wood, despite herself growing weaker and weaker from the fact that she's not got any food.
Jesus.
And Lorne was, all told, like just a bit of a twat. He was horrible to her.
Oh, no.
Saying that she wasn't taking care of him properly and that her husband had been right to abandon her.
Oh, my God.
And that it was no wonder two of her children had died due to her incompetence.
Fucking hell.
Do we only know this because she's keeping a journal?
Sorry. Yes, I mean, to be fair, he could have been really nice and she was like, you know, I'm going to make this more dramatic.
No, but yeah, trying to predict, like, oh, where's this going? How do we know? Yeah.
We know this from her, not from him, because...
Why did she not just, like roll him off the side of a fucking
ice drift?
Yeah,
that's a bold move for him to attack the one person keeping him alive.
Yeah.
White male privilege, guys. Yeah. There it is. It's just like, yeah, it's insane.
I assume I can keep abusing you and you will continue to care for me.
Yeah.
So she wrote a passage in her diary about him and said, he never stopped to think about how much hard work it is for a woman to take four man's place. To woodwork and to hunt for something for him to eat and do waiting to his bed.
Jesus.
So she's doing all of this stuff and she's, you know, rightly getting annoyed, but she took good care of him, gave him most of the food.
Jeez.
6 months later, he died. So, of course, we've lost the guys. So it's 6 months that she's kept him alive for, but he has died.
What
so
a waste of her energy.
Sorry. Or was she just slowly torturing him? And this is the diary of an... do you know what I mean?
Like, oh, like Gone Girl.
What? Yeah, it's Gone Girl. Oh my God, it's... Gone Girl was mere fan fiction of Ada's diary.
Yeah.
Guys, we've just lost... We've lost Pixar. Okay. So apart from the cat, apart from Victoria...
I played the cool girl on the ship.
Yeah.
Apart from Victoria, she's Ada's all alone now, not knowing when or if she's going to be rescued.
Oh.
So she starts going full survival mode.
What's the cat eating? Like, how is the cat still alive?
Because
Ada's so good, she's feeding the cat, right? Like, that's it.
The cat must be getting something.
Because giving up some protein, because, right? A cat...
Yeah,
pretty sacrificial. Anyway, carry on. I'm sorry.
But you're right, Sarah. If there's fish, then that cat is in seventh heaven. I mean, that's that's great. Yeah, Ada starts going full survival. What do you think she does to survive? More specifically, what does she build? She builds two things.
A sauna.
A sauna. Love that energy.
Can't live without it.
What does she build?
She builds two things, you said.
Mm-hmm. A boat to get her out of there.
Ding, 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 ding. So...
builds a fucking boat.
She rebuilt their boat, which was wrecked, building a new one out of animal skins, canvas, and driftwood. She built a raised platform to look out for polar bears because she's still scared. But Ada, you know, she's so determined to survive and get back to her son. That she was eventually rescued. She didn't use the boat in the end. She was rescued 3 months later by a ship called the Donaldson. She'd been on the island for almost 2 years. I know.
Shut up.
As she was a female explorer, obviously it was documented exactly what she was wearing as she came to the ship for rescue.
Oh, my God.
If her skirt had been too short, we would have left her there.
Wow.
I hope it wasn't out of season. Oh.
So what do you think she was wearing?
What? But I just want to understand how this took 2 years. So they were there for a year, then the boys left and she was looking after this guy for 6 months and then she was on her own for 3 months?
Yeah, so probably just under 2 years, I guess.
Right. That's a long time.
It's a really
hang on a minute. They would have had seasons. The ice would have met. Like, surely the ice is bad in winter, and then the spring comes, and then they could have been rescued at
the
any
ship
time.
Was wrecked too, though. So that's why she was.
But the rescue ships could now, you know, once it's melted, the rescue ships can come.
Maybe she finished it right as the rescue ship, and she's like Donaldson, right as the last nail went in. She was wearing animal pelts. I hope
animal pelts. Any advance
like
on animal
body
pelts?
Con animal pelts, I hope.
Yeah.
What is a pelt? I was just going with it.
Skin.
Like well, it's, yeah,
the fur and the skin.
Yeah.
I like to imagine that she slightly went a bit mad and dressed herself like Victoria.
Yeah. Nice. A little bell, perhaps.
So she looks like she's in the musical Cats.
Yeah. Single white cat. See, I'm just full of movie references tonight, guys. What I do. She was dressed like a cat.
Oh yeah. My God. I mean,
that was
be
the
great.
Only other company she had. So, to get
That's
a sense
so
of kinship
that was
and community.
Her Wilson.
Yeah.
Victoria.
Oh, man. Weirdly, the cat in Cats is called Victoria. I wonder if that's why.
No.
Hey.
Yeah, the big white cat.
I've never seen Cats in any of its iterations. So
oh, that means you don't know what a Jellicle cat is, and I definitely know what a Jellicle cat is. I've no idea.
Have you heard it, though, Taylor?
I know some of the... Yeah, I mean, we all know, like, the well-known songs from it.
Yeah.
But I don't know the storyline. Like,
there isn't
No. To be fair.
I went down a cat's rabbit hole last year when that movie came out. Yeah. I'd never seen it before, but I do like musicals. Like, I've always known musicals. Mm. And I went down a rabbit hole because I was like, what is this crazy movie? And then the more I explored it, the less it made sense. Like, there is no story. They're just all trying to get into heaven. And they all sing a song about how they want to get into heaven. And then the shitty cat gets into heaven and that's the end.
That sounds about right.
Absolutely bonkers. But it's that with James Corden, basically, is the movie version.
When I was 10, I got to see the musical and
I'm so
it was
jealous.
Really exciting. But fucking weird.
I bet. You were like I remember I went to see the movie. I went to see it at the cinema because we were all like, oh, this is supposedly so bad. Let's just go and watch it.
Yeah.
And it was quite funny because we were all sort of laughing at it, but there was this little girl in the front row and she was loving it. And we were like, we need to hold off our kind of sarcastic adult shit.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I was proud of us all that we shut the fuck up during that movie.
Loved everything. Again, like, talk about privilege. Like, anything I saw in the theater as a child, I loved. Like, there was just, there was no bar. It was just the magic of the sound and the energy in there. And, you know,
it was a really big deal. Cause, like, so when I was 10, I was in the choir and we sang Memory from Cats. And it was as if, like, how I imagine cooler people that are younger than me would have, like, if they'd been allowed to sing Britney Spears or something. Like, it was like, oh my God, we're singing from, like, this is really happening. Like,
it's
we're the coolest people.
I love that that's your coolest memory. Is memory, like, literally.
Seriously.
Inception.
All of my other memories are just...
I was in this, like... You know, I always talk about growing up outside of Pittsburgh, and it was like there were no theaters where I was, but like Pittsburgh had the theater, like big metropolis Pittsburgh. And one of the nicest things my dad ever did was he bought tickets for me and a friend to go see West Side Story. And we were young, and it was a big deal to, like, he had talked to
you feel like such
the
a
ushers to let us in and, like, show us our seats. And I was just blown away. And West Side Story is fucking amazing. Like, it's great. And but we were so young. We're like, oh my God, this is amazing. So anyway.
Well, guys, Ada was wearing a...
so not just like a cat.
I was just thinking, I'm like, how did we get on the magic of theater? What was Ada wearing?
Weirdly, as she came out clicking. She came out in a reindeer hide that she'd sort of made a jacket from herself because she's bald. Nice. She's incredible.
I love this woman.
She's pretty amazing.
Great.
Yeah.
She is amazing. She gets back to Alaska. Katie, you're sort of almost going to get your happy ending here, but obviously what we've heard so far, it's apart from the incompetence on Stephenson's part of sending them out there without really thinking about it, we've not had a crime yet. But basically, she gets back, everything goes crazy. The newspapers, she's being dubbed the female Robinson Crusoe. She hates the attention. She hates it. But she's reunited with Bennett, and this is enough for her. And although Stephenson pays her less than he said he would...
Come on.
Yes, exactly. She could afford treatment for her son's tuberculosis. So she gets back, she gets reunited with her son. Now we get to the actual crime part of this. I realize we've already been chatting for a while, so I'm going to...
Hang on. Her son had TB when she left?
Yeah.
He had TB for 2 years and survived?
I mean, apparently so. He was alive. Okay. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know whether or not...
I'm no TB expert. I just always have this...
He wasn't getting the good drugs.
Yeah, no, he got the good drugs. No, I just...
How often
I
do you guys talk about tuberculosis?
Do you know what? It's been coming up a lot recently, actually.
I mean...
It does come up in cases.
We should certainly know more.
It's called the consumption. It comes up.
Oh, yeah. Actually, where I'm from, there was like a tuberculosis hospital because of the heirs of the Isle of Wight. It was supposedly the air was really good. That does not exist anymore. Basically, Ada gets back. She is accused of a crime at this point. What is she accused of?
She's accused of a
she
crime.
She is accused
murder.
Of a crime.
Yeah, she murdered Lorne. Yeah.
Okay, the murder of Lorne. Interesting.
Or she neglected Lorne to death.
Yeah. Interesting. Taylor, got anything?
I'm just angry. What did you say, Katie?
They call her Gone Girl.
It's manslaughter. She is accused of Lorne's death through negligence.
Oh, fuck's sake.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Isn't it?
To be like, you're in a fucking expedition where everyone's dying, but it's your fault that guy died.
I did wonder why she was caring for him for so long. I was thinking there must be like contextual reasons that gave her like an invested interest in his survival. And she probably must have known that
she'd be in trouble if she survived and he didn't.
Yeah, she probably wouldn't have known that they would be accounted for and she would have to account for all of them when they got back.
Yeah, suddenly she's God and she was supposed to save everybody.
Yeah.
But also that thing of being a woman as well, I think, comes down to, like, if she's there to cook and stuff, but it doesn't matter that she hasn't got anything to cook with because no one's hunting.
Yeah.
She's doing it all herself. Basically, she was accused by one of the men who rescued her on the boat, and he did something underhand. I mean, and by underhand, I mean just downright awful.
He read her diary.
He did something to her diary to try and prove that she was guilty. What do you think he did?
Oh, no.
He
edited it? Yeah.
Edited it, doctored it.
Well, I don't know what else it would be. What else can you do to a diary? Or he removed pages. No, it's better to doctor.
Oh, no, he burnt it.
No, Taylor, you're right. He tore out pages of her diary where she detailed the care that she'd given Lorne.
Why?
Yeah, why?
I know. Like, he just... I don't know why he would do this, but it was proven.
Well, our politicians recently have defined misogyny for us, and I think, although it could have gone either way...
Do you know what? I bet he was
Ada
like...
to a man.
I bet this guy was like, hey, we've rescued you now. Fuck me. As thanks. Ooh. And she was like, yeah, maybe not, mate. I'm just trying to save my poor deep TB orphan son. And then he was like, right, well, I'm going to get you in trouble.
Yes. I hate how plausible that is.
Yeah. I mean, this is the thing. I couldn't find out through the research why would this guy have such a fucking problem with this woman who is being heralded a hero, really, because she survived. So the shittery does not end there, though, don't you worry. Soon after her return.
For balance, so if there are pages missing, I suppose you can see that through the tears, but we have to believe, because that would come from her, right? That would be her defense. Still holding out that maybe Ada tortured all these men. Just because it's good to...
And then documented it.
And then documented it.
Do you know what? He apologized for doing it and admitted to it.
Oh,
so,
wow.
I know, Taylor, okay. I know you hate women, but it's not your night.
Misandry goes every direction.
So basically, soon after her return, a book was written, which was very successful, called The Adventure of Wrangle Island. Who do you think wrote it and took all the money for it? And I'll give you a clue, it wasn't Ada.
Oh, Benny no. Stephenson.
Page Nicker. Yeah.
Oh, Johnny Page Nicker.
Oh, no.
Stephenson.
Stephenson. Yeah.
Taylor?
I don't think he's a good enough writer. The cat?
Victoria the cat.
X Vix. I mean, so it's somebody that we've heard of in the story. So it's either the dude, the bad dude, or it's a famous writer. And you would have prompted us on that already. So yeah, it's the bad dude.
Yeah, it was Stephenson. Okay. He said that Ada's story was the most romantic in Arctic history.
Oh my God.
Well, he would say that about his own fucking book.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The adventure that he didn't have the balls to go on.
Yeah.
And it was awful as well. And he caused it. It's kind of like, so he made loads of money from her story. And Ada lived till 85, dying in 1983.
Whoa. Really?
I know. She died in poverty. She didn't make any sort of money from this.
Yeah.
She didn't like the limelight. So I kind of, when I was choosing this case, I'm like, well, she doesn't like the limelight. So it's kind of like, then you sort of start talking about it on a podcast. But I think it's, I don't know, with this, she was so fucked over by so many people. Yeah. Like,
you don't
have
to love the limelight. You can get fucking residuals and royalty. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to like the limelight.
You can be paid what he said he'd pay you.
Yeah, you can get a fair wage, first of all.
Exactly.
Did her son survive? Did he have a lovely life?
Bennett survived, I believe. Okay. Yes. So let's hear it for the remarkable resilience and bravery of Ada Blackjack. Yes. Cheers, guys.
And a little nod to Bennett Blackjack as well.
And Victoria Blackjack. I assume the cat took Ada's last name.
The cat made more money than she did.
Victoria Blackjack. Victoria Blackjack is such a good name for a cartoon cat.
Or a drag queen.
It's great. Yes, also that. Drunk women
solving crime. Guys, we have just got enough time for a listener crime. Now, this listener crime is interesting because it's almost a case within itself. This is a listener who's written to us telling us about a murder that happened in her family back in the day.
Whoa.
But because there's not quite enough information for us to do it as a whole episode, I thought let's bring it in as a listener crime.
Ooh.
So, lend
me your ears. Speed detectives, let's do it.
Dear lovely drunk women, I thought this story might interest you. A few years ago, my mum and I started looking at her Scottish ancestry. This involved looking at birth and death certificates. And we were very surprised to come across one ancestor's death certificate with the cause of death given as stabbed to the heart with a knife. Death instantaneous.
Whoa.
Maybe they were a vampire.
It doesn't say they weren't.
Okay, that's a solid theory. Continue.
The man's name was Dracula. No, he was Robert Orr. That's O-R-R, not Robert or Simon. It's Robert Orr.
Robert Orr Dracula.
Yeah, that would have been better. Damn. And he died in Paisley, aged 33, in 1858. We did a quick search through news articles.
Sarah's got a question.
Go on.
When you say he died in Paisley, do you mean the town or the fabric?
I'm going to assume both.
Great question.
It's a very good question.
I want to be married in Paisley. Married? Buried? Either way. Look, I've got Paisley behind me.
Okay. Someone's into it.
I shouldn't make cocktails, guys. It's too much. It's too much.
I know. I love anyone that shows their wallpaper on a podcast. I think it's brilliant. So we did a quick search through news articles from the time and found that the story of a working man returning from the pub with a couple of pals and going to investigate some yelling by the infirmary door, where he was fatally stabbed in the chest. The man who killed him, so this is Robert Orr, this is her grandfather, they found this. The man who killed him was William Wiley, the professional gentleman, son of a wealthy and well-connected family. Ugh. He was the nephew of a late procurator fiscal for the country, for the county, procurator fiscal. He was the nephew of someone really rich. And it was seen he had some mental health issues that they were aware of. He went to trial but was found not guilty due to insanity. But here's the twist.
Yeah.
The wife of the murdered man was pregnant. It was the Orr's fifth child, who was sickly and apparently didn't reach adulthood. However, this child was named after the murderer.
What?
What?
Wait. I mean, that's literally... Sorry, go on.
That's the father then, isn't it? Murdered him because it was his baby and he wanted to become the proper baby daddy.
I mean, this was my first instinct as well.
What's the name?
So
what's the name?
name that he
was named after again? William Wiley?
Yeah.
Like,
so
is there any chance that they were like, oh, I just can't think of a name. I've just got the name William in my head for some reason. I don't know why. Anyway, let's say, oh shit, it's too late. It was the guy that killed my husband.
It is a very poetic name. It's got assonance.
Actually, it's a popular name, that's true.
Alliteration.
Do you know what, though? This is even weirder than that because it was a girl called Catherine, but she was called Catherine Wiley Orr. So it was the surname.
Okay, that's not a coincidence.
I'm sorry, William Wiley is her father.
Yeah,
I think so.
Does she know? She doesn't know. This is the question.
No, she says, it's funny though, because after it put named after the murderer and she's put, what? And you guys all went, what? So they have no idea why. We only know from her birth certificate and we've never got to the bottom of it.
Wow.
So weird. Have you got any theory. She said most of the news articles reporting the murder barely mention Robert and go on and on about Wiley in a very sympathetic tone.
Wow.
I have read a couple of very long articles I could find from the trial in the September, and they gave nothing away either.
What year did this murder happen?
It happened in 1858.
I think this is a love story. Sorry, but I think Robert Orr was a wife beater and a philanderer and made his wife's life a misery. And then when she got pregnant with William Wiley's child, he stepped up and was like, I can't let you bring another child into this world with this man. And so he stabbed him through the heart. It was very symbolic
Did he really have mental health issues, or had he been committed by someone else? And was it the husband?
Right.
And is this also a Pixar film waiting to happen?
This is absolutely
because they're
Pixar
going darker
film.
And darker. Like Soul, that went there. That was deep. So I think we can do this.
The five children is her parent. Do we know that?
Iona, who...
Yeah. Lovely name.
It is a lovely name, isn't it? Well, it would be like her great-great-great-grandfather. It wouldn't be her parent from like...
Oh.
If you see what I mean. Yeah, so it's a few, but it's her
mum's... Oh, yeah, of course it is. It's so long ago.
It's her mum's lineage, her Scottish ancestry.
Uh-huh.
And she found this murder.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, because they only had birth and death certificates, she could find how he died. And the fact that this kid was named after the murderer.
Oh, boy.
That's but I think, so Sarah, I think you're onto something, that there's something to do with the...
I feel like it's obvious. I think that the person... I think Iona's in a little bit of denial here. It's like, sorry, but like, you're not
this is
Richard
the point.
Or...
This is the point on Who Do You Think You Are, where they'd make her cry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like the thing that she always knew deep in her soul, but she never wanted to confront it.
Yeah. Iona, I hope that's helped.
Sorry you've been manipulated by reality TV, but great to know your ancestors.
Or that could very well be her theory, and she's like, let's see if the drunk women can align.
Yeah, we all said what at the same time, so.
What?
Great minds.
Because they must have had chats. I've just like, I love like, yeah, family history and stuff like this. So fascinating.
It's a weird one too, because some parts of the family can be very repressed and not want to mention it ever, or as my mum would say, air your dirty laundry in public. And then other parts of the family are like, what the fuck? We need to get to the bottom of this. So it's always really like, what's going on in the family? Who wants the truth and who's hiding stuff?
Yeah.
Hidden in plain sight, though, if your husband gets killed by someone.
Yeah, very badly. Like, it's like a double bluff. Like, what the hell is that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a cocky move, for sure.
It is, right? It's insane.
I love it. Well, Iona, thank you so much for listening. And all that remains to do is to say, Sarah, what are you up to? Where can people find you?
Jesus, like nothing. No, I'm joking. carry on with the question and I'll answer it. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, it's just...
I'm on my fifth Prosecco or something.
Yay.
Just tell us where we can find you if people want to know more.
I am on all your socials at Sazzy Mills, so you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook and TikTok on there. I do put out a lot of content all around, so please do follow me because my content is lit.
You heard it here first, guys. Follow Sarah Mills. And
tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thank you, Sarah Mills!
Oh, Sarah, awesome! Thank you.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman, with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then write it in a review and we'll solve it. Thank you to Acast, and thank you for listening.